Blog Talk Radio.
My goodness, I can let the Imperial March from Star Wars play all night. Good morrow, and welcome back to the realm. This is Epic Fantasy author J.V. Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you marking your first adventure into my realm, this is a vast and sweeping domain where I will feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis to specialize in a plethora of art forms. And as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com or follow at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter, Insta, TikTok, and YouTube, or look for me at jvhilliard on Facebook and Discord. So as we reach our witching hour, let me cast my message spell and take control of the magical airways of Blog Talk Radio. And for you D&D nerds out there, which I know are many, my duration of the transmutation magic here is about 30 minutes to set your sundials. And let's enter the realm together today. We're going to be chronicling the adventures of fellow speculative fiction scribes, Leslie Summers and Brandon Hoy. Leslie specializes in young adult fantasy and teams with her mother to write these books in a perfect yin and yang. So if you're a fan of fantasy and romance or fantasy romance or fantasy with romantic tendencies, I think Leslie may be someone you want to add to your TBR list. Brandon Hoy is a Philly guy, and I promise we will not hold that against him on the show, even though he's currently working. And, well, let me put it this way. His current work in progress includes a really interesting dystopian sci-fi fantasy. I've had a chance to read Brotherhood, and this is a series where readers can choose to read any of his books in the series in any order. And we'll get into that in a little bit because I think that the way his stories converge is pretty cool, and I find it pretty unique, and I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit more about that. But Brandon, Leslie, welcome to the realm.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us.
Sure. So I'll start, ladies first. Leslie, I'll start with you. Tell our listeners about you, what you write, and where they can find you.
Sure. So I write YA fantasy with my mom, as you mentioned before. You can find me on pretty much any social media platform. My TikTok, I guess it's now X and not Twitter anymore, but my Threads, my Instagram, all of that is LJ_Summers, and my Facebook is Leslie Summers, and you can also find us at our website, which is www.leslieanddanissummers.com. At the website, you'll find out where you can pre-order our second book, and you'll get a rundown of everything that we're going to do and where you can meet us live in person.
Well, Leslie, tell us a little bit about the Amulet series. I mean, you mentioned your first book and then the pre-order for the second. You know, I've heard your stuff compared to Percy Jackson novels, and I've had a chance to read the first one, as you know. But tell our listeners mm-hmm. about it, and what was the inspiration behind it?
Sure. So the book is called Breed Reborn. It's the first book in our Amulet series, as you had just mentioned. The inspiration behind this book is actually my father, so we joke that it's a family affair. I was standing at my kitchen window one day doing dishes, and it was really sunny outside. My dad, unfortunately, was hard of hearing, so he misunderstood something my mom had said to him, and he got really, really mad. And the angrier he got, there's this cloud cover that came over and blocked out the sun. It got super dark outside, and then he finally understood what she said, and as he calmed down, the cloud moved away and the sun came back out. And I remember looking at the sky and then looking at my dad and looking at the sky and thinking, you know, I know it's, like, improbable he could have possibly made this happen, but, like, what if that actually happened? And so I finished the dishes, and that night I sat down and I started outlining what I wanted to write in the book, and I wrote the prologue, and I wrote the first chapter, and I decided it was going to be Scottish mythology in that moment. And as I continued writing that book, I brought my mom in, so that way it's because I kept relying on her, so that's how it became – it's the whole family affair. That's, you know, it's funny. We kind of are because we actually get along. We get along famously. Most people like to are always fascinated. Like I write with my mom, and they're like, "How do you write like, you know, kind of spicy scenes with your mom?" And I'm like, "You'd be surprised. My mother has been like, oh goodness." She comes back and she's like, "Leslie, you made her super awkward, and nobody wants to read about a girl, you know, doing anything being super awkward." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, sorry." So like, I have to go back and fix it. My mom keeps me honest, but she also keeps me like, I don't know. She reminds me that like, it's okay to be a human and have feelings and put them in your books. So it's fun. But we write the story about Bridget. She is our main character. She is a 17-year-old girl from New Jersey and discovers that she's descendant of Breed, the Scottish weather goddess. Breed has a twin sister, Bera, and multiple years ago, many like centuries ago, they ruled the world and ruled over the weather that we come to know by using a magical weather-controlling amulet. Those two did not get along, and their mother broke the amulet in half and basically split up the weather or split up the seasons between the two of them. Well, unfortunately, the amulet has gone missing, and now they can't find it. So they proceeded to have families and descendants, and every generation is born a Kuhar, or a seeker. And Bridget is this generation seeker, and she happens to fall for Bera's generation of seekers. And so a star-crossed romance begins, and she has to decide, is her destiny worth it, or is her boyfriend worth it?
Of course, the star-crossed lovers. I love it, love it. Brandon, how about you, man? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you write and where our listeners can find you.
Sure. Well, you kind of nailed it on the head. I am a Philly guy, so, you know, I can take that with any strides and comments you have to make. I live in the suburbs of Philly, and I, you know, just made my way into finance. I think there's not much more else to me other than the fact that I read and write. The best way to get in contact with me would be my Instagram. That's the one where I'm actually kind of active, and that would be it's a Hoy There Author. So it'd be @Hoy_There_author. And that's Hoy, as in H-O-Y. And about my book.
Great pleasure.
I think so. It's better than Chips Ahoy. Do you want me to...
debatable. It's debatable.
Do you want to talk
bro.
About the Brotherhood or all of it?
It's not. Talk about the Brotherhood. Talk about the Realm of Tig. Everybody, I'm sure, we piqued their interest there earlier. Tell them a little bit about it.
Yeah, no problem. So the Brotherhood follows Franco. He is living on the streets with his found family, which is two other orphans that he has decided to, you know, care for and watch over their well-being. They are struggling to survive, dealing with all different types of, you know, sacrifices they have to make. So in one of his get-rich-quick schemes, he lands himself in trouble with an organization called the Brotherhood. In the situation he finds himself in, the Brotherhood kind of take them under his wing and say, hey, we'll take care of your family, you know, as long as you do everything that we ask. And at first, he thinks it's a great idea, but he quickly finds out that they are not who they say they are, and he needs to figure out if he wants to stop them from pursuing their goals and risking his family at the same time, or to play along to keep his family safe and healthy.
I got it. No, I have a couple of questions for both of you guys, and my listeners are mostly readers, but some are authors too. So some of these questions are going to focus on readers and what they want to hear, and others will focus on perhaps what authors are looking for. But, and I'll start with you, Leslie, what was the hardest scene you had to write in the series so far, whether that's the work that's out or your work in progress?
So far it's been the third book, because there is a new character I had to add into the third book after I'd already started writing it. So I had to go back and rewrite him through. So it's less of a scene, and it's more about adding this character in. That's been the hardest challenge I've experienced so far, because I have to sew him into existing scenes, and I really like those existing scenes. I don't want to get rid of them.
Oh, yeah, so it's like killing your darlings, right? Like you really, really like it,
bit.
You're like, oh, I'm going to fit it in there.
I'm going, yeah, but I have
in.
To remind myself, I'm thinking, like, it's going to be better. It's okay. It'll be okay. And there's some stuff that I've had to,
yeah,
like, take out already because it doesn't make sense in that scene, and I'm taking, like, whole chunks of paragraphs out, throwing them on another document, like, I'll come back to you. Don't worry. I'll bring you back in. This is not,
yeah,
your time.
Please don't go anywhere. Well, yeah, you make sure you,
yeah,
hit save on those, right? Eating comfort food,
Steve,
while you're doing it.
Oh, please. Steve, backed up on the cloud, special spaces. Oh, yeah, they're not going anywhere.
No, I do the same thing. Like, sometimes I'll write something, and I know it's going to hit the cutting room floor, and still I save it, even though it's – and I've used it, like, for, like, blogs and folks that give me a guest blog to write. I'll send them something that didn't make the book just because I want it out there somewhere. But how about you, Brandon? What's the hardest scene in any of your stuff that you've had to write?
The hardest scene always has to deal with killing off a character. Nobody likes to hear it. Nobody likes to see it, you know, but in war, death happens. And I always find there's a struggle between, I don't, you know, in a battle, things are happening quickly. So you don't always have time to, like, pause, slow down, and really take in, you know, I guess the death. But, at the same time, you want to make sure, you know, it's doing the character justice. So I would definitely say any loss of a character is really difficult to write.
I got you. I there's obviously death in my books too, and sometimes it needs to be epic, and you need to feel it as a reader, I think, and as an author, you want them to feel it. But also, sometimes it happens in the middle of a scene, and it's how the other surviving characters, I think, react to that, and, you know, and does that galvanize them together, or do they fall apart into chaos, right? I mean, there's all those sort of human elements that play into that stuff too, so I'm glad you kind of brought that up. But how about this one, Leslie? I'll start back again with you. Do you have a favorite character to write, and why is that character your favorite?
Oh, you can't even see, I'm like grinning over here. I do. I have, like, I love all of my characters, let's be honest. but I kind of, I don't know. I just love all of my characters. But I think my favorite character to write is one of the people in Bridget's circle. The character's name is Logan. In the first book, he's kind of meant to be like a jerk. He's like this high school kind of pompous snot, like nobody wants to be around, but that's like, he's playing that as a role on purpose. Then you find out why, but you don't find out what his true purpose is until the second book. And the development that he goes through in the second book, it was just so pleasurable to write because it was completely natural. I didn't feel like I had to force anything. I didn't feel like I had to think too hard about his character. It felt like he was just so, it just felt so natural for me to write him. And I remember as we were going through the book, I finished it, and Mom went and read the whole thing through and came back, and she was like, you did a really good job with him. She's like, that progressed so nicely, and he developed so beautifully, and I was just so proud of him. So, yeah, he's by far one of my favorite characters to write.
That's cool. How about you, Brandon? Do you have a favorite character in the books, or, you know, and why would that be your favorite character to write?
Oh, there's always a new favorite character. Every time I write a new book in – create a new cast of characters, I always find myself falling in love with the new bunch of kids that I'm working with. But I would say my two favorite are, the first one is from Emerald X. His name's Talon. He's just this very sarcastic, witty, outgoing protagonist that I wrote. And he's just a fun time to write because he's the always one that banters with everybody in every scene and makes everybody uncomfortable. But at the same time, you can't help but love him. But my other character is actually going to be the main character of my current work in progress. And the reason I like him so much is that I identify him with a lot of ways. You know, not, this isn't necessarily about adulthood, but, you know, when you start entering something that you're not quite familiar with, it's hard, and you find yourself fumbling in the darkness to make decisions. And a lot of everything he's going through are things that he didn't necessarily ask for. He just kind of got pushed towards, and he had to, you know, make quick calls, and he's trying to figure out everything on his own while navigating the world that he's in. And I love, you know, I love the way that he comes to his own character by the end of it, where he's not depending on anybody else and he has to make the decisions for himself.
Leslie, has writing and publishing a book change the way you see yourself? Not necessarily as an author, but also personally. I mean, a lot of people look at this as a big challenge and, you know, something that you've overcome and then some, you know, but as an author and a person, has the process of writing or the process of having your works published changed you?
I don't think so. Seriously, it doesn't feel like this big overcoming challenge. And I know that sounds really like stupid, but it just feels like I finished writing a paper, you know, in high school or college. It's like, okay, I did that. I finished it. I'm done. Whew. Like, okay, I can move on to the next one. You know, like that's just my brain working like that. So it doesn't feel like this massive achievement in my head. And even to this day, I mean, we go to conventions and I still have a hard time like telling people I'm the author of my own book because I just feel so like I shouldn't. It doesn't feel like I should be celebrating it in my head because I'm like, it's like another paper I had to write in college. So, like, why am I so excited? I'm not handing you my 10-page paper on Shakespeare.
So, well, like, is that because I have you've been writing as long as you have? I mean, I know you're a big book person. I just – is it because it's sort of like second nature to you then?
It is. I've been writing stories since I was 5 years old. I have notebooks and journals all over filled with story ideas and short stories. I mean, I can't even tell you. My favorite thing in my education was being told I could write a story. I was that person, okay, I know I'm about to get canceled, but I was that person who loved, like, taking the standardized tests for English because they always told you, like, here are five things, make a story out of them. And I was like, yes, this is where I shine, you know? Like, so I was that giant nerd who loved that.
What about you, Brandon? Did your life change, or did you feel a change when once you put that first book out into the ether? I mean, how did becoming an author and becoming a published author change you?
I'll definitely say when I held my copy for the first time, it felt like a dream come true. Because just like Leslie, I had been writing for such a young age and have always aspired to be an author, and so holding that was amazing. But I wouldn't say it's really changed anything. I will say, though, now that I've been, you know, I guess in the game for so many years, it's really made it clear how different people are when it comes to their taste and what they like. So that you just really, I eventually came to the realization that you really will never be able to please everyone. And that, you know, it's not everyone's cup of tea. So that was kind of like a hard lesson to learn, that there is no middle ground for some people.
Yeah, you know, I have two funny stories about that, and I agree with that. The first is this past weekend at GalaxyCon, what you just said hit me when the woman came up to the table and I asked her what kind of book she likes to read, and her answer was garbage. Like, she likes to read
bad
books.
Oh, yes, I remember
books.
That person.
Yeah, and it was like, what just happened? Like, what? How is that a category, right? But by the same token, I've had friends and family people that – have read my stuff because it's me, but it's not them. And I've had people that I thought were going to read it that never did because they don't like to read it, or they just don't like to read, you know, and it's just, it's disappointing because, you know, it, like, if one of my friends owned a restaurant, I would go there regardless
Absolutely.
Of whether they like the food or not. I would go there to patronize
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, it's like, is it the same thing happening here? It's like, what? Just buy my book. You know, it's like $4 and just go download it. You know, it's like, you know, it's stuff like that too. So, go ahead, Liz.
Can I comment on that? Because I agree with you.
Of course
I feel the
you
same
can.
Way. Like,
yeah.
why aren't you like buying my book if you want to support me? But I've noticed that my friends who are not buying my book are actually retweeting my post and sharing my post and sharing, you know, and telling people about my book even if they haven't read it. And more people have bought my book outside of, you know, my own work and my own hustling of it from word of mouth. So I think in my head, like, that makes it easier. If they didn't buy my book or read my book, they're telling people about it, and they're telling them to buy it and read it. So I kind of give them a pass.
You know, I'm going to tag along to that, too. It's funny because, you know, when they say, you know, you have your first kid, everybody's there to support you. You have the baby shower, and your second one is like a sprinkle. When I published my first book, I had an unbelievable amount of support and people lining up the door, and everybody wants to support me. But, you know, by the time my second book came out, it was those, you know, only, like, my really good friends were there. Like, you know, people who just wanted to support mm-hmm. me or not readers, they didn't show up that time. It was just, you know, my really good friends who were like, I definitely want to be there. But even still, you know, I feel like the support dwindles after a while. And then it's like people will come up to me and they'll say, hey, like, you know, I heard you wrote a book. And I'm like, yeah, I did. And they're like, yeah, that's very exciting. I thought about buying it. I'm like, oh, look, I actually have some free copies. And they're like, oh, I don't have room for that in my car. And I'm like, all right, you didn't really want to support me.
Yeah, no, my favorite is when you give someone a book. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Liz.
No, I'm sorry. I was just, who says that to you? I don't have room in my car for a tiny book. Come on.
Yeah, my favorite is when someone buys your book and then gives it to four other people to read. And you're like, no, it doesn't work that way. Tell them to buy the book, you know, download the book.
Right,
listen
right.
To
like,
the book.
I love it. I love and hate that because it's like, yeah, I definitely want everyone to read it because, you know, right now, you know, spreading the word is more important than making a profit. But also, hello, I'm a small business. I would love for all four of those people to buy the book to support me so I can make the next book.
That's right. And it's not like it's $100. You're talking about like a, you know, a $2.99, you know, e-book investment or a 20 buck hard copy or whatever. It's just... Oh, it drives me nuts, too. So anyway, I've got a weird question for you guys. This is a fun one, and I'm going to throw it at you anyway. So you guys are on a quest, and you find a treasure chest. And when you open it up, there's only one item in there, and that item can come from any fantasy or sci-fi book that you've read or you've written. What, for you, Leslie, would that object be and why?
Oh, man. This is a fun question. That's super hard. I read a lot of fantasy books.
Got to pick one. You only have one.
I know.
You want me to go to Brandon? You want to pass?
Like, yeah, on probably. $25,000. Sorry, Brandon.
All right, Brandon, you're up first. I'll let you go first. Let Leslie stew on this one for a little bit. Now,
it's crazy.
I'll just
you're
going to
throw me in there like that, Leslie? That's
yeah.
Crazy. I said I'm sorry.
You said it was from any fantasy world? Does that have to be book related?
It has to be book-related, sci-fi or fantasy. It doesn't have to be, and it could be your own if you've got something cool, but you've got one item in there. What's it going to be, Brandon?
I read a lot of books, but they don't all necessarily have, like, an item or, like, something specific. This is a harder question than you thought it would be, JV.
See? I feel better knowing it's not just me.
My instant thought was like, oh, Dragon Ball, some Dragon Ball Z, but that's not a book.
Well, it
actually,
kind of
wasn't
is a book.
Wasn't it made into
it.
A manga?
Yeah,
yeah, wasn't Dragon Ball Z like actually physically written out as a manga? So I think it counts.
It counts. You want a Dragon Ball? Look, is that your item?
Dude, I get three wishes out of that. Absolutely.
All right. So there you go. Brandon's on the board. Leslie, pressure's on.
So it has to be an actual item?
An item, yeah. It has to be an item.
Like a physical, like I can touch it item? It can't just be like, okay.
Right, yes. It's in a treasure chest. For
probably.
Reason, right?
I'm like mad at myself for saying this, but it's the only thing I can think of right now. Probably like that Cloak of Invisibility from Harry Potter. Because that would come in like super, it would be super helpful.
Who are you
helpful
spying on, you weirdo?
Very introverted. What?
I said, who are you spying on?
So if you listen to what I was saying, when I feel super introverted, it would help me hide.
So, well, I got another weird question for you guys, and then we'll move on to our lightning round because we're coming to the end of our time. But I'll start with you again, Leslie. Do you have any book boyfriends?
You know, oh, my God, yeah. Don't
that
we
you
all?
Fall in love with when you read them?
Every one of them. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
the most recent
give me one.
One. Though,
you got to give me one.
The most recent
Brandon,
one
Brandon, you can't
is...
say Stephen Amell.
He's not from a book.
He's not in a book, so you have to go somewhere else.
It does. Yeah, he doesn't. I'm sure he's inspired a lot of these book boyfriends, but it hasn't been named as one specific. So there was a book recently that I read called In a Jam by Kate Canterbury, and she has a character, Noah, and I want to, like, grow up and marry him. I love Noah. He's my most recent book boyfriend.
Fair enough. How about you, Brandon? Do you have a fantasy love in any of your books you've been reading?
No. There's not really anybody I would like to be with that's from a fantasy world. Typically, their life is very difficult. I don't really want to put myself through that.
That's honest.
I will say I was reading a romance novel. I guess it's actually it's more of like a graphic novel. I was reading The Heartstoppers. I don't know if either of you are familiar with that.
Oh, yes, I know that one. Oh, that's such a good one.
The age range is a little young. Obviously, I'd have to be younger, or the characters have to be much, much older. But definitely somebody from there.
Cool.
I'll be
okay.
honest, though.
I knew
they're
that
all
was a little
super swoony. No, but they're all super swoony. So I feel like his answer is spot on. You can't go wrong with any of those characters.
Appreciate that.
All right. Well, look, we only got a couple minutes left, so we're going to go through a lightning round here. I'm going to throw a couple of questions at you. One word, one sentence answers at the most as we're coming to the end of the show. Leslie, I'm going to start with you. If you had to write under a pen name, what would that be?
Emmeline May.
Ooh, that was quick. I didn't expect that. I thought I'd stump you. How about you, Brandon?
Wesley James.
All right.
We
okay.
practiced this beforehand.
And then, oh, did you? All right. Well, how about
no.
this? As a writer, if you had to choose a mascot or an avatar or a spirit animal or some kind of totem for yourself, what would that be, Liz?
Probably a lion.
Mm. I'm very proud. How about you, Brandon?
I would say a phoenix. A lot of my life, I've
Ooh.
Come back from my ashes, and I feel like that's just something that's always going to stick with me.
Good. I like that. All right, final question as we end the show. Leslie, if you weren't allowed to write in young adult fantasy and had to write somewhere else, what category would you write in?
Oh, 100% romance.
Wow. That makes sense. That tracks pretty quickly. How about you, Brent?
Well, I'm currently writing a romance, so that's what I probably go with, too.
Ooh,
Yay!
Look at that.
Brandon,
look
we
at
should
cover
something.
So, all right, well, actually, I do have one last question. I'll throw that out there. Just, and this isn't more lightning roundish, but Leslie, do you hide any secrets in your books that only a few people find out little Easter eggs for people? Yes
oh,
or
yeah.
no?
Oh, yeah. I can reveal one, and it's gross because I'm talking to two boys, but I can reveal one for my first book.
Go ahead.
Specifically in the first, like, 10 chapters, and I think it happens in, like, the second chapter. It's within, like, the first 10 to 15 pages. Bridget, about this particular type of food, it's a hot dog, and it's got chili and cheese and onions and fries, and it's this special that she gets from a boardwalk vendor. And at that time, I was PMSing, and I was craving that meal so hard that I had to make that like her favorite food, and it's brought up throughout the whole series.
Nice.
That's funny. How about you, Brandon? You got anything you hide in that's in your books that are Easter eggs that only you or maybe a couple of friends or family members know about?
Well, the first 10 pages of Emerald X were written as a short story about my life. So you wouldn't know that unless you were familiar with a little bit of me growing up. But there's also a scene in Emerald X that I kind of got inspiration from the video game Dragon Age Origins.
Oh, man, that's a classic.
Oh, I love that game. I beat it over 50 times.
Ooh.
That is that's true love right there. Right there.
Romance.
Well, again, guys, I want to thank you for being on the realm tonight. We're running out of time. We're up against it. So thank you very much for coming on. I'd love to have you guys on when you're launching your next books. Just let me know. I'd be more than happy to plug you into the schedule. But unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the duration of my message spell, and I can feel the magic in my eyes fading. And so before I leave, I want to thank my guests again, in this case, Leslie Summers and Brandon Hoy, for allowing me to conjure them into my realm. And if it's only for this short time, I go tell everybody where you could find you and your books one last time, Les.
Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or at my own website, LeslieandJanaSummers.com.
Brandon?
You can find my books on Amazon. Otherwise, all my information is on Instagram, which is Ahoy There Author.
Great. And to our followers and listeners tonight, thanks again for lending us your ear. And until next time, I am J.V. Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.